First, there was a snow ghost on top of a silver mountain.
Welcome to the Snow Ghost Community Podcast. I am Bruce Russell.
I am Mike Benedetti, and on today's show we'll be talking about AC/DC, Metallica, and public access. With us today we have special guests Adam Villani and Mike Polyakonis. How are you fellas doing?
I'm doing all right.
Excellent. Well, there will be rocking aplenty on today's show. The first topic we're going to talk about is an economics paper involving AC/DC. Adam, what's that one about?
Well, there's an economics paper out there. Let me bring it up. But it's from the University of Calgary. Basically, what they did was that they did a pretty standard. They ran a pretty standard economics experiment. And then for a treatment to this experiment, they ran the experiment with an AC/DC song in which Bon Scott was the lead singer. And then they also ran the experiment for several subjects where they played an AC/DC song in which Brian Johnson was the lead singer. The songs used were... what were they? There was Shoot to Thrill was the Brian Johnson song, and there's a Long Way to the Top it's a Long Way to the Top from Bon Scott. And what they determined is that people made more optimal economic choices when listening to Brian Johnson AC/DC than they did when listening to Bon Scott AC/DC. And essentially they said that, you know, there was no way to make, say, some sort of aesthetic, you know, to offer a scientific determination of which one was aesthetically better, although, you know, everyone has their own opinion.
But AC/DC is basically beyond science.
AC/DC is beyond science. However, they said from their conclusion, they said that our analysis has direct implications for policy and organizational design. When policymakers or employers are engaging in negotiations or setting up environments in which other parties will negotiate and are interested in playing the music of AC/DC, they should choose from the band's Brian Johnson era discography.
Is it? Huh.
Yeah.
Bruce, do you have a comment on this?
Yes, I do. Actually, a lot of people think that Bon Scott is the actual original singer. Actually, David Evans is actually the original lead singer for
AC/DC. That's right. That's right.
And I heard something somewhere in Australia that he was actually doing some kind of like festival or contribute for like the original like AC/DC songs that they actually did, because their brother George was actually a producer at the time. He had his own band called the Easy Beats with Friday Night on My Mind, and they decided, well, let's start producing bands, and AC/DC was like first one they decided to produce back in Australia, because they actually, during the High Voltage and Dirty Deeds, was actually originally released in Australia before they had got an American deal. Actually, they got signed in London through Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
You know, I have one comment.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what would happen if they ran one of these tests with Dave Evans as the singer.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of Dave Evans material?
I don't think so.
Boy, I don't know.
I think there was this, actually, he was just like singing, doing songs when they were actually doing like local shows around Australia.
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't know. Shoot to Thrill is not a song that's really close to my heart. But a couple of years ago when I was hiking the Continental Divide, I would sing It's a Long Way to the Top, which features Bon Scott on the original. I would sing that a lot. And I have to say that it was a very good hike, but partially because I think I made a lot of foolhardy, risky decisions. You know, I kept going many times when I shouldn't have gone. And possibly it's because thinking about Bon Scott caused me to make what were, from an economics point of view, poor choices, but risks that, you know, I don't know, Bon Scott wrote checks that my ass could catch. Maybe that's what happened. That's the effect.
If you're listening to Rush, would you be making more self-interested choices or not?
I have nothing good to say about Rush. Maybe Adam can talk about this issue.
It's possible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Rush is, they're not cretins. You know, I think they're a good band. They rock hard. You know, they're objectivist, but you know, they're worse things to be, I guess. They aren't as severe as you know what? It's not listening to Rush lyrics is not as severe as actually having an argument with an objectivist, which is just, you know. I'd much rather listen to Rush than have an argument with an objectivist.
I would say too that I don't think that this economics experiment reflects the personalities of Bon Scott and Brian Johnson necessarily. I don't know that Bon Scott was worse at making economic decisions, you know. He died young, but it's not like Brian Johnson, you know, didn't have like a lot of substance abuse issues of his own for a long period of time.
Sure.
So
Brian Young is usually a good economic decision for whoever controls the estate.
Yeah, Bon Scott was actually the limo driver one time for one too.
Well,
they asked him to keep, and they asked him to keep. They passed from the to Jim to join the band. But my songs are like dear to my heart today is like Highway to Hell, because I mean after like beginning of starting to doing shows and touring all that stuff, never up to the point where it was like basically on the Highway to Hell, and basically Highway to Hell took me to the top, so you know.
Well,
and the other one's like, and the other one would be Right On.
Okay.
He's got that bass that would be like boom, 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 bass line in there, like...
Well, you know, Bruce, it's interesting because at the end of part two of this paper, he actually says explicitly, these songs were chosen in order to avoid preconceived preferences for the band's biggest singles, e.g., Highway to Hell, You Shook Me All Night Long.
And the other one would be, and the other one song would be, too, for me, would be Deep in a Hole, because I can't dig holes fast enough. I have to use a backhoe or a bucket loader, because if I'm going to dig myself in a hole, I have to dig it really quick so I can get out of the, just have the Louis fast. So I use a bucket loader instead of using a shovel. By the time I get in the first few shovel scoopfuls out of the hole, I'm like pretty well beat. So let's just go with a bucket loader. I can get in there and get out in the same amount of, you know, in more and less time than I did when I dig the thing up.
I want to change the subject from AC/DC and economics to AC/DC and crime. Michael, you were telling me before the show about a criminal activity you had performed involving AC/DC.
Oh, I'm afraid we can't come back to that. Yes, my primary involvement with AC/DC was their soundtrack for Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive back in, what, 1985?
Sounds about right.
I got the album from Columbia Record House Record Club and was attempting to tape it and then return the record without paying for it. And I was caught by my father lecturing on the morality of it all.
And your father was like, he's an upstanding guy, and he's like, you know what, son? There's some bands you can rip off, and there's some bands that you can't.
Well, yeah, I have a story about
AC/DC. It was something like that.
Yeah. Well, what do you have to add, Bruce?
He says, like, I used to know this guy who used to live in Ohio.
Okay.
One of AC/DC managers lived across the street from this guy that I used to know. And they had a big party where all the guys from AC/DC, plus they brought all their women up there. And my friend, who was named Quincy, said, which ones use AC, which ones use DC, and where do you plug it in? And they all think that's like a sexual joke. I mean,
that's probably the way it was intended, right?
Well, I mean,
you know, let me ask you one question, Bruce.
What's that?
I want you to give me an honest answer to this question. Are you ready?
What's that?
Why is Metallica not a metal band? This came up a couple of weeks ago on the show. And a lot of people have not been able to sleep thinking about this question.
Well, able to be a metal band, that you have to have good distortion from an amp, plus you have to have the strong bass guitar as well as a bass volume. It cannot be cute, slide, whatever. And a lot of Metallica songs are basically like very creamy or whatever.
Q cute.
And you really need to have that voice able to sing metal, to be a metal band. And to me, the reason why Metallica is not considered a metal band is because when they did Load and Reload, it was very much from that, away from that. And then, and actually, any metal band would not do Load and Reload and do the SMN, the thing with the San Francisco Orchestra. I mean, you look at all the actual metal bands out there. Would you see Iron Maiden singing about playing the trumpet with Satan and Hell's Kitchen or something?
What about like Ride the Lightning? What about early Metallica? Is that
What about up through about 1990?
I would still say it's like hardcore rock, really.
And you're saying this is because of the vocals and the guitar sound?
Yeah, it's just like the whole, because it's like, it's just like too creamy and too mellow.
that's like calling
Goroth a rock band.
You know, you're not convincing me on this Metallica thing, Bruce. I know that you think this is true. I feel like there's other reasons that there have to be. Like, Metallica sounds like a metal band to me. More than a rock band.
Call them a metal, not heavy metal. Can we just go to metal instead?
And the thing is, too, there's like different terms of, there's different terms of metal. I mean, too, a lot of people use metal to label hard music, rather for actually consider playing a metal band or not. They did that in the 70s.
They say every heavy band is a metal band.
Basically, because that's how they used to describe heavy bands, rather for a metal band or not.
But you would say for the aficionado, there are other important differences to think about.
All right.
Well, it may be so. I feel like we'll have to come back to this on another show.
What about Blue Oyster Cult? They've got the umlaut.
Would you say Blue Oyster Cult's a metal band?
No, they're a rock band.
I considered them a rock band.
Well, Bruce, I wanted to change the subject again and ask you, do people watch cable access shows?
Yes, they do. I actually, last Saturday, somebody asked me and said, I saw your show and your 100th anniversary. And I said, you know, and they go, you know what I'm talking about. I said, I sure do. And the church I went to Sunday said, a woman said, well, we saw about 5 minutes of your show. Actually, 10 minutes of your show, and a woman the Friday night said that it was like actually last, yeah, it was like Friday night just before Donna closed, and said that
down at the Mustard Seed.
Yeah, and said I saw your show, and I keep missing it like 5 minutes, and how the Snow Ghost thing come along, and it's like.
This is really impressive that even months after the show first debuted, you've got people coming up to you all over town saying, "Oh yeah, I saw your show."
And then I got. Should I bring up about the looking like ACD's the incident at the thing there?
Go for it.
Yeah, this is like funny because.
Tell Adam and Mike about this story.
Yeah, you gotta listen to this. This is like actually made my day. This is like last Thursday night, last Thursday, and I was like, well, actually last Thursday morning afternoon was like about 1 o'clock, and I was like. Walking to the CVS on Front Street, and there's like a police substation next door to Bank of America. So I'm going in to get a paper, but this cop, it was like this officer, was like, we're like going back and forth. I was like going in one direction, he was going, and he's like walking another direction, and he finally stopped me and asked me if I had an ID and stuff, and asked me more how long have I lived here, and where I grew up and all this other stuff, and he goes, have you ever been arrested? I says, no. And then he goes, well, there's an incident happened in CVS, and I want you to come to the police station, and I want to clear some things up. Evidently, there's this hat I was wearing, which drew some questions about the glasses that I was wearing. Actually, the glasses were
are prescription glasses. So he called somebody at the substation and then cleared us up. So I went over to the substation. They want me to look at the opinion. He wanted his opinion. The officer who one of the other officers in the substation's import and see if the shoes in the picture what I was wearing was latches like what I was wearing. You find out the picture that had blue on his shoes, but the hat and the glasses kind of like drew attention.
And tell me about this hat.
It's like I have been like wearing for the last 2 weeks. I just the last month now. It's kind of one of those hats that Brian Johnson wears a lot in AC/DC.
And the suspect in this robbery was wearing this hat?
Yeah, and evidently thought there was like doing disguise himself, and the officer flat out point blank asked me if that was me or not. I said, and one of them, the sergeant there said, "Well, if you could be honest, if it is you, we can help you. If you just meant to it," and it's like, "It's not me."
Was it you?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, if you did a robbery like that, would you disguise yourself as a tree, or what would you do?
I know, I'd probably just like, if I was to disguise myself like a tree, I'd just probably shake it like a leaf and leave.
I'm wondering if it was, did the police pursue the possibility that it was Brian Johnson himself?
No, it's just...
Maybe he was wearing glasses to disguise himself?
Yeah. And it just asked me, you got to be honest, that does kind of look like something you said, maybe. But I really didn't, but maybe just a hat and glasses looked like.
And then you were and then you were telling me that he was a nice guy, though, this cop.
Yeah, he was like a nice guy. He just thanked me for being such a nice guy and a nice man to take the time to answer these questions and be really polite about it. And a lot of people are not that nice, and especially around Worcester. I mean, there's nobody really around here that's really that nice anyways. But anyway, it's just one person's opinion to another. And he just said that, then he goes to me, "Well, first of all, actually, if I was in a hurry," and I says, "No, I was getting a paper." So, and he goes, he walks it over to me, walks in the store with me. He says, "Go in and get there, grab your paper. I'm going to talk to the woman and see if I can see her." And we cleared it up from then. And then I asked him his name. I said, "I have a cable access show." And he goes, "You have your own show?" I said, "I do." And he goes, "Well, I don't have cable." "Oh, I don't have cable access." And I said that, "Well, here's a website." So I gave him to the website. So it was like, this is like, I mean, make the story long, this long story short. A bad situation came out to an interesting, to a positive thing.
You know, and you might have changed his life.
Yeah.
If he goes online and watches an episode of the Community show.
All right.
That could be just what he needs to turn everything around.
All right. I mean, I just think that I turned this thing around. I mean.
Well, fellas, I want to thank you all for being on the show, and I want to know if you have any other final messages for the people of Worcester or the worldwide fans. Michael Polyakonis, any last words?
Keep on rocking in the free world.
Adam Villani.
I just had a couple of questions for Bruce on the story he was telling me. So eventually they let you go? What, did they give a reason? Or I was a little unclear on that.
Yeah, they let me go. They just thought that the picture, the hat and glasses I was wearing looked similar to what the suspect was wearing in the picture.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, I remember there's a case down here where a kid ended up going to jail. You know, he hadn't done a robbery or anything, but they had the hat that the guy who was wearing, had done the robbery, was doing. They put the hat on the kid. And then they asked people if he looked like him. It's like, well, yeah, he looks like him with the hat, but he wasn't wearing the hat before. So they replay do they replay on the cable access channel? Do they replay the Snow Ghost show? Like, have you got more than one chance to get to see it?
Yeah, this is like tomorrow's gonna be like the fourth episode. This is the second week they actually showed the rerun, so. But there's actually,
yeah.
So there's actually gonna be new shows coming out with me when Mike is back. So
we'll have some new shows probably coming out in the very beginning of October.
Yeah.
A whole new season of the Snow Ghost Community Show. Bruce, do you have any do you have any final words before we wrap this up?
Who, me?
Yes.
Yeah, just to all the people out there in the world in Worcester, just thank you for supporting the Snow Ghost and the Snow Ghost music, and we're all looking forward to keep on medicine and mining the molds of the mines, and just thank you for all the support and the fans. We all love you. All right.